Welcome back for the second hour of the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. The Southern Baptist Convention meets in Indianapolis this week. We have some audio to share with you here during Open Lines and talk about what's going on among the Southern Baptists. It can hardly be discounted. We got 16.3 million members. It is the largest mainline Protestant denomination in the United States. I would dare say Protestant denomination in the world as an independent denomination. It's Open Lines. Anything you want to talk about as well? 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I've got a question raised by Cal Thomas that comes from within the meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention at Indianapolis here to share with you in just a minute. But sometime during this hour of Open Lines, Dr. Paige Patterson, president of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the keynote speakers at the Southern Baptist Convention, will join us from Indianapolis to talk about what's been going on there this week. We'll hear from the president as well, who spoke via satellite link up with the Baptists there in Indianapolis. We'll be joined there. And then 5:30, to round off today's program, our last half hour, we're going to spend with Bill Salmon. He has authored this book called Misunderestimated, The President Battles Terrorism, John Kerry and Bush Haters. We'll talk with him about the Bush presidency. He is senior White House correspondent for the Washington Times. That's coming up in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. Here's the question raised by Cal Thomas. He gets the question from a resolution that was being considered by the Southern Baptist Convention. Comes from a Houston attorney, Bruce Stort, who is also a retired Brigadier General T.C. Pinckney. They are calling for Southern Baptists to pull their kids out of public schools. Cal Thomas weighs in. Perhaps you read his column today in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He ends his column by saying, "So, Southern Baptists, show the way and perhaps many will follow. Stop waiting for the world's permission to fully exercise your faith and beliefs. Start training your children in the ways of God, in the way that God wants them to go. That can't be done in public schools," says Thomas, "but it can be done in your Christian academies or in your homes. It's time to give the word Exodus a new meaning," says Cal Thomas. Pull your kid out of public school. This isn't something that they just are thinking about. This is something that the Southern Baptists are pursuing. Cal Thomas raises the question, should you pull your kid out of public school? I mean, think about what's being taught in even the best public school. Is it time for Christians in general to say, okay, no more, it's time to withdraw my kid, I'll take the hit that it requires from me financially to either put my kid into a parochial school or homeschool my child? Is it time for Christians to withdraw their children from public school? Is it time for Christian teachers to stop teaching in public schools? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Think about that. Give me a call. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. I was not raised in a public school education, parochial school from day one until the last day. My wife went to public school, maybe no worse for wear. Who knows? My kids, they don't go to public school. What about you? Is it time for Christians to pull their kids out? Now, yesterday, President Bush spoke via satellite to the meeting in Indianapolis of the Southern Baptist Convention. The president says that marriage, speaking to the issue of marriage should be between a man and a woman.
My administration is defending the sanctity of marriage against activist courts and local officials who want to redefine marriage forever.
President Bush also said that marriage must be strengthened and protected. The way to do this is by changing the U.S. Constitution.
I'm calling for funding for healthy marriage programs, and I support a constitutional amendment to protect marriage as the union of a man and a woman.
That's President George W. Bush speaking via satellite to the Indianapolis gathering of the Southern Baptist Convention. They meet once a year to make decisions, to pass resolutions, to elect new leaders. President Bush also told the Southern Baptist he thinks that religion does have a place in American public life.
I'm very mindful about saying, you know, oh, vote for me, I'm more religious than my neighbor. And I think it's important for people of religion to serve. I think it is very important for people who are serving to make sure there's a separation of church and state.
Okay, so there's the president speaking to the Southern Baptists in Indianapolis, speaking to the press as well, talking about gay marriage, a marriage amendment. And he's speaking to a, by and large, to a sympathetic audience here. Although, I would point out here, as is pointed out in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch today, the story Southern Baptists Quit Liberal Alliance, and is also pointed out by Paige Patterson, that there are some people still within the American Baptist churches who question the inerrancy of the Bible, and one of them includes a group of gay-friendly congregations. Now, they're a minority, but by and large, the president's got a sympathetic audience there. Finally, the president talks about American public life and how there's a place for religion in American public life. That's the president speaking to the Baptists. Pastor Jack Graham, he is the outgoing president of the Southern Baptist Convention. In Indianapolis, he said that he is delighted that President Bush chose to address the meeting of Baptists.
Mr. President, Southern Baptists have and are praying for you. Our president is a man of personal faith whose leadership is great for America.
Now, I don't know if this is the... I can't remember what happened last summer. I do not believe the president addressed the Southern Baptists. Of course, the atmosphere was a little less, in terms of religion and public life, was a little bit less heated than it is now. But he did choose this time to address the representatives of 16.3 million members of the Southern Baptist Convention. One of the things they're calling for at the Southern Baptist Convention? A withdrawal of children from public schools. If we can't reform the public school system, if education, public school education in the United States is broken and its content is running afoul of what many Americans and many Baptists believe, pull your kids out. Cal Thomas echoes the call in a column in today's St. Louis Post-Dispatch. What do you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Jack Graham, outgoing president of the Southern Baptist Convention, also said that Baptists are praying for President Bush.
His strong and courageous appeal to our shared values of the sanctity of life, moral responsibility, individual freedom, and personal faith have provided us all with hope and encouragement.
Now, Jack Graham also says that Southern Baptists themselves, as individuals, are going to need to do more than just pray for a president or have a president that supports their values, their pro-life values, and all of these things. It's going to be more than just, we're behind you, Mr. President. Jack Graham, outgoing president of the Southern Baptist Convention, also says that Baptists must speak out themselves on moral issues.
If we don't, then the unrighteous will dominate and control our lives and our future and our families. If we abdicate our role and our responsibility socially and culturally to bring Christ to the culture so that truth and righteousness can prevail, then we will lose this battle. Satan is on the prowl. He's devouring everything around us.
Okay, so let's see if we can put legs on that. Jack Graham says, look, it's more than just supporting the right candidates. It's more than just saying, we're behind you, Mr. President, insofar as you agree with our values and our morals. We've got to act. He says, if we don't, we'll lose the culture. I'm not quite sure exactly sure what he means there, but is a good way of speaking out morally in the culture. Something that's been suggested there in Indianapolis, Christians pulling their kids out of public schools. What do you think? Have you looked at your kid's textbook on history or math or science? I send my kids to parochial schools. I've looked at their textbooks. And these are textbooks in parochial schools. They're not all of them from a Christian perspective. You do a lot of explaining as a Christian parent, don't you, during the hour of or the hour of the 2 hours of homework? About how some of the things they read in their textbooks that are supposed to be the truth aren't the truth. And even into things as seemingly morally neutral as math. A math book that I was looking through this thing, maybe not this year's, but last year's math book, for fifth and fourth graders. Talks about math for about half a page, and then talks about multi-ethnic cultures for a half a page. Now, it tries to tie it into the math subject, but it's hard not to say, look, the writers of this textbook have another agenda going than just teaching my kid to multiply, to convert fractions into decimals. They're trying to teach my kids something else. I would prefer they to stick to the math, to be quite honest. I wonder what it must be like in the public schools. So is this the way for Christians to have a moral voice in the culture? By attrition from public schools. 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Jack Graham also says that Southern Baptists must become soldiers in the culture war.
Why aren't we as preachers in our pulpits teaching and preaching what the Bible says about marriage as God has defined it, and what the Bible says about homosexuality as God has condemned it?
It was just a couple of years ago that the Southern Baptist made an amendment to their Baptist faith and message. And this thing made headlines everywhere. Do you remember what it was? Do you remember what it was? They wanted to insert language in the Baptist faith and message that would affirm the headship, the scriptural headship of the husband, father, in the Christian family. First of all, there were hoots and howls from people within the Southern Baptist Convention. So you can't do that. You're going to take us backwards, culturally. And of course, there were also hoots and howls from the culture as well. Just to affirm the scriptural headship of the father and the husband in the Christian family. Well, there's no doubt there is a culture war. Cal Thomas echoes some who are calling from within the Southern Baptist Convention to pull their kids out of public schools, where all sorts of things are being taught. Certainly not the scriptural headship of the father and the husband. Is that a good idea? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, as promised, Dr. Paige Patterson has been kind enough to join us from Indianapolis. He's a former president of the Southern Baptist Convention and currently serves as president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We're going to talk a little bit about the Southern Baptist Convention meeting this week in Indianapolis. Dr. Patterson, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much, my friend. Thank you for allowing me to come on.
Dr. Patterson, how would you characterize the meeting here in terms of what's the main message of the Southern Baptists as they meet in Indianapolis?
Well, I think, of course, it would have to be a continuum of what has happened in the recent past, the last 25 years. As a matter of fact, one of the main things going on here this year was a 25-year celebration of the beginning of our return to the faith of our fathers, which happened beginning in 1979. So there's been a celebration of that, and then there have been several issues, one of which I heard you just talking about there.
All right, I want to get to that issue of public education in just a moment, but the big story from Indianapolis today, at least in our papers, is the decision made for the Southern Baptist Convention to sever itself from a global federation of Baptist denominations known as the Baptist World Alliance. What was this decision about?
Well, the Baptist World Alliance was established about 100 years ago, and Southern Baptists were very prominent in the establishment of it at that time. However, in the past 20 years, there has been a steady erosion of what we consider to be the faith of the fathers that has been transpiring in the BWA. And some of the affiliated bodies are now holding to positions that we find untenable. For example, the Churches of the American Baptist Convention, which is the old Northern Baptist Convention here in this country, have recently established what they call the Evergreen Baptist Association. And that's an association of gay-friendly churches, where churches that and people that want to be advocates of the gay lifestyle or to feel comfortable. Well, you know, we're not comfortable there anymore, Todd. We're saying that that's violation of Scripture, and that's our principle, is to try to determine what God's Word says and then live by it. So we simply have had enough of it, and we're going to continue to relate to Baptist bodies all over the world, but we're not going to do that through the aegis of the Baptist World Alliance anymore.
Dr. Patterson, I would like your reaction to some things said by Denton Lotz. He's General Secretary of the Baptist World Alliance. He says that they have been misrepresented by the Southern Baptist Convention. Here he is.
Accusations have been made that we were liberal and we were anti-American and we had aberrant theology, but we reject all of these accusations.
Dr. Patterson, your reaction.
Well, Denton has steadily said that he rejected them, of course, and, you know, everybody's got an opinion, but the fact of the matter is I have a file of letters that I've sent to Denton and his replies to them. that cover now a period of better than 10 years, in which I pointed out to them exactly what was happening, and he has literally done nothing about it. And so in the final analysis, I have seldom ever known a liberal who admitted that he was liberal. And because, of course, he knows that the minute he admits that, well, then, of course, whatever following that he has among evangelical people will vanish away. So Denton naturally doesn't want to admit it, but the facts are there, and we've got them documented.
Here is Denton Lotz again, General Secretary of the Baptist World Baptist Alliance. He says the real issue here is a dispute over moderates who left the Southern Baptist Convention.
A dissident group of Southern Baptists called Cooperative Fellowship formed a separate convention. They eventually withdrew from the Southern Baptists. We accepted them as members last year in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. The Southern Baptists said if they're in, we're out.
I remember reading about this in the paper. What's the story there, and is Denton Lotz, is he giving an accurate picture of what this dispute is really about?
No, I think he's only giving a partially accurate dispute. The group to which he refers is a split-off group from Southern Baptist Convention. They split off from us because they were not happy with our emphasis on the inerrancy and the infallibility of Scripture. They believe that there are mistakes in it. The only degree to which that decision of accepting them influenced Southern Baptist any was that it was a clear statement on the part of the BWA that they intended to head that way. If they accept them, then clearly they reject us. And as a matter of fact, the very acceptance of that group is a contradiction of Denton's avowal that they're not a liberal group, because they did accept a liberal group into their church, into their fellowship. However, that had little enough to do with our decision, because the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship is an gnat on a bull's horn. It's not a significant group, and as a result of that, our problems with BWA, as documented by our letter files, go back many, many years before the CBF was even ever in existence.
You mentioned before that you seldom have met a liberal who's willing to call himself a liberal. I share that experience as well, very rarely. Denton Lotz says this is about moderates. Is that an accurate picture? Are the people we're talking about here actually theological moderates?
Well, I'm not sure what a theological moderate is. You know, Todd, I think a theological moderate is a liberal who would like to still keep drawing money from conservatives. And that's basically what you have. Now, you know, maybe we're not talking about classical liberalism of Ada von Harnack and Albrecht Ritschl, but we're certainly talking about neo-orthodoxy of Bart, Brunner, Bultmann, et cetera, ad infinitum. And these people are accepted by them, and maybe they're not classical liberals. Maybe the proper term is neo-orthodoxy, but even then that really is improper, since neoliberal would be more accurate.
Now, I'd like to talk to you before we wrap up our conversation here about the call, and it's been echoed by Cal Thomas in a column today, nationally syndicated, for Southern Baptists to lead the way, says Thomas, withdraw their children from public schools, and perhaps in that way affect some kind of educational reform. What exactly form has this taken there in Indianapolis?
General T.C. Pinckney, retired Air Force hero from Vietnamese days and a very highly respected layman in the Southern Baptist Convention, has brought a resolution to the convention asking the convention to do that. The resolutions committee did not read that resolution out, and so now it becomes a matter of General Pinckney asking the convention to take his resolution on the floor, which requires, of course, more than a majority vote. I think it requires a two-thirds majority or something like that. Not very likely to happen, and yet I don't consider the resolution a failure, because it won't happen, because actually 98% of the Southern Baptists at this convention agree with T.C. Pinckney's statement of the problem, and they even suspect that his solution may be the only solution. But if you know anything about Southern Baptists, you know that there's always been a huge commitment on the part of Southern Baptists to direct evangelism and missions. And so right now, Southern Baptists are trying to sort out, at what point do we pull our kids from the public schools and lose maybe an evangelistic opportunity through them to reach those schools? And at what point do we leave them in? And I just don't think Southern Baptists are at this point ready to make a resolution in a convention that we take them out. But I do think that it is a shot across the bow of public education that this comes up and that it does have as much support as it does.
Interesting, kind of the symbolic value of that resolution seems to be in that even if it were passed, it wouldn't be binding on Southern Baptists, but it would be a definite message. You think the message has already been sent?
I think the message is sent just by the fact that it came close to happening. Mm-hmm.
Has there been much discussion in particular on the Baptist faith and message? I know there were in past conventions.
Well, not a lot. The BFNM 2000, as we call it now, the Baptist Faith Message 2000, the confession that was adopted in 2000, has taken deep roots now, and still it's not a creed with us, you know, in the usual sense in which creed is understood, but it certainly is a strong confession of faith that I would say 99.5% of the people attending this convention, of the 8,500 messengers attending this convention, thoroughly endorse.
President Bush was kind enough to join Southern Baptist there in Indianapolis via satellite and speak on several issues, seemed to have been well received by the 8,000 gathered there. Your reaction to the things he had to say?
Well, I thought he did, of course, a fabulous job, but I'm probably prejudiced in that direction to begin with. I thought one of the funniest things was he had a kind of a wry smile on his face when he kept being interrupted by enthusiastic applause, that it was almost like, well, I don't get to talk to many meetings like this. What on earth are these people, you know? So I think he found himself in territory where he didn't have to earn any votes.
Finally, we only have about 30 seconds, less than a minute here before we go to, I'm sorry, we have a little bit more than that, about a minute before we go to our break. You're in a church body, the Southern Baptist Convention, that is popularly considered to be very conservative. I am in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, also considered to be very conservative. Does it amaze you, as it amazes me, that pastors and lay people who reject our teachings as they're laid down still consider themselves to be moderate? Some of them were even bold enough to call themselves conservative. No one in our church body seemed to be able to honestly confess that they are liberal.
Yes, sir. It does strike me as very unusual and maybe not altogether candid and honest.
Dr. Paige Patterson, we thank you for your time and for joining us there from Indianapolis.
Our happiness, and may God bless you in all you do.
And you as well. Dr. Paige Patterson, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and former president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He joined us from Indianapolis, where 8,000 strong representatives of this largest mainline Protestant denomination are meeting in one of their annual meetings. 16.3 million members all said. When we come back, more open lines for your questions and your comments, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So although the resolution in Indianapolis among the Baptists has not really seen the light of day as an official resolution to call for Baptists to pull their kids out of public schools, what do you make of it? Cal Thomas says it's a good idea, an idea whose time has come. What about Christians in general pulling their kids from the public schools, leading the way? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And when we come back, more audio from the Southern Baptist Convention meeting in Indianapolis.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
God gave his people of the Old Testament very specific rules and regulations for their worship. Does this mean anything for the Christian church today? What was the heart and center of Old Testament worship? What was the heart and center of the Old Testament faith? Find out answers to these questions in our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Leviticus. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June is available from Concordia Publishing House. Call them toll-free, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Leviticus. It's our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org. When you order, mention Issues, Etc.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. If you pay very much attention to the mainstream media, you'd pretty much think there are only two news stories of importance. One is gas prices, and the other is prisoner abuse in Iraq. Terry Phillips reports on an intensifying spotlight on media bias.
The Media Research Center's Media Reality Check asks the question, why are gas prices the only economic news?
I see a political bias in this.
That's the article's author, Tim Graham, who charges the media fails to highlight positive stories about the economy, even as they get stories about so-called record gas prices wrong.
If you adjust for inflation, in today's dollars, gas prices were much higher in 1981, $2.99 a gallon in today's dollars.
Cliff Kincaid at Accuracy in Media agrees it's a political agenda, an anti-Bush bias that drives the lopsided reporting.
They could focus in on the positive news, the factors of increases in gross domestic product, employment, and so forth. But no, they choose to harp on the higher gas prices.
The Pew Research Center recently asked national reporters about political affiliation. The majority either claimed being liberal or moderate. Kincaid says many of those felt they were being too easy on President Bush.
Consequently, my only conclusion can be that because they think they haven't been hard enough on Bush, the bias is going to accelerate in the weeks and months ahead.
Which means buckle your seatbelt for a summer of biased coverage coming from mainstream media. You've probably seen nothing yet. For Family News and Focus, I'm Terry Phillips.
Gas price stories are just one example of bias. The other is abuse of Iraqi prisoners at Abu Ghraib. In fact, Congressman Duncan Hunter suggests the prisoner story has received more publicity than the invasion of Normandy. For Family News and Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
Gather friends and family and join Family Shield for an evening of fun, oldies music, and fellowship on Saturday, June 19th at the Family Shield Rock and Roll Benefit Celebration. The event will be held at the Casa Loma Ballroom in South St. Louis. Tickets are $10. For information, call 772-6070. That number again is 772-6070.
You can dig deep into God's Word with the new Concordia Commentary on Leviticus. It's our Issues Etc. book of the month for June. You can find out more by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. The cost is $42.99 plus shipping and handling. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org and click the What's New section. The Concordia Commentary on Leviticus.
Same-sex marriage will become the law of the land. It will be forced upon us by tyrannical courts unless the people of the United States stand up and say no!
That's Reverend Richard Land speaking yesterday at the meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention in Indianapolis. We're talking about that during this hour of Open Lines. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I am increasingly struck in your talk. We talked just a minute ago with Paige Patterson, and then we heard from the president addressing, and then from Jack Graham, and we're going to hear from Ergun Kaner here in just a few minutes. I want you to listen carefully, folks. You remember when the Episcopalians met together? They all speak in very sedate tones. They're talking about ordaining active homosexuals, and even those who are against it speak in a tone just about like this. Not with the Southern Baptists, man. When they find something wrong, you'd think there's a spider crawling up their leg. They're ready to tell you about it. And, you know, my church is going to be meeting here. The Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod is going to be meeting here in their triennial convention here in St. Louis here coming up this summer. I wonder if you'll be hearing the same kind of adamancy for the truth. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We were also talking with Paige Patterson there about how he finds it a bit frustrating. They have just severed ties in Indianapolis with the Baptist World Alliance, and they said it was over the issue of whether or not they're going to accept liberal theology. So they severed the ties. And yet, there are protestations from representatives of the Baptist World Alliance saying, no, we're not liberal. We're moderate. We're just moderate. Why isn't the people who are liberal, are especially theologically, I'm not talking about culturally, theologically, won't admit it. They won't just come out and say, yes, I am. I've run across one in my own church body who says, yes, I'm proudly a liberal. Pat them on the back and say, thank you for being honest with me. Okay, they're calling for Christians and Baptists in particular, pull their kids out of the public schools. Not only to enact educational reform, but, well, Cal Thomas says, let's give the word Exodus a new meaning. What do you think? Is that a good idea? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's open lines for the next, 50 minutes here. Then we'll be joined by Bill Salmon. He has written a book about the Bush presidency called Misunderestimated. He's senior White House correspondent for the Washington Times. Let's go back to the phones. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Up first, Ken is calling from Pittsburgh, listening on the Internet. Ken, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hey, good afternoon. I have a comment and a question. Well, actually, maybe it's two questions. I listened with a lot of interest to your story about the Southern Baptists and the school issue, and I think that we ought to really consider a move like that. I think we need more than a shot over the bow. My first grandchild is on the way, and I'm already amassing a library. I'm going to consider the possibility of homeschooling for him or her rather than put them into public schools, assuming that that's okay with their parents. And I guess my other question is, you mentioned the upcoming conference with the Lutheran Conference, and I noticed in one of the emails, or maybe it was in the Lutheran Witness I got, that the one of the topics to possibly open for discussion was about same-sex marriages or something related to it. And my question is, why are we why is this a topic for discussion? As far as I'm concerned, it's an issue that's settled by Scripture.
Now, stay on there for a second, Ken.
Okay.
Just to your first point, what is it in particular that disturbs you about public schools?
A number of things. One, the curriculum. I think there's a lack of, for one thing, there's a lack of proper education in history. A lot of the public schools no longer teach the history of our country. They prefer to teach social studies, things that are politically correct. And another thing is that in some places, I'm not in a particular area that I'm in, but there are some places where the school environment, for a number of different reasons, is not conducive to learning. And so I'd really like to see any of my grandchildren. I would prefer to see them in a Lutheran school, if not possible, then in a Catholic school or a Christian academy, and if that's not feasible, homeschooled.
Ken, one thing I'd encourage you to do, though, I encourage you to do this, because there are public schools and then there are public schools. Check out the public school district where your grandson might be attending there, and I understand your concern completely, and find out whether or not these concerns that you have are, and they're very general, but I think they could be very accurate. Make sure that that's the situation that prevails there with your in the school district where your grandson would be attending.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think will happen if Christians en masse were to, say, take up the call here from Cal Thomas and the Southern Baptists and start withdrawing their kids from public schools? What do you think the result would be, or if even Christians withdrew as teachers from public schools?
I'm somewhat concerned about what could possibly happen as a result of that. It could possibly result in a collapse of the public school system. Another area, at least here in the Pittsburgh area, I'm sure you've heard some of the national coverage of the financial woes of the city of Pittsburgh. I live in the suburbs. I'm not in the city itself, but I'm affected by that because I'm within the county that the city resides in. And a number of the problems that come about are because of the strength of the teacher unions in terms of contract negotiations, not only here in our county, but also in the state of Pennsylvania. And there needs to be a realignment of the balance of power in public education. The power needs to be returned to the administrators that run the schools. Right now, I think it's the other way around. And so that would be, but I think I hear the concern in your voice that, yes, it could lead, if Christians were to suddenly en masse say, okay, we've had enough, we're taking our children out of the schools, there could be some large-scale cultural repercussions.
Ken, thank you very much for the call. I do have a bit of a concern there, but it's right at this point, it's kind of hypothetical. The law of unintended consequences, that's what I'm concerned about. Intending to do something or send a message and resulting in something maybe even worse, maybe a public school you could never return your kid to. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. In answer to his second question, why would a church discuss something like, it planned to discuss something like same-sex marriage? I ask rhetorically, why do you talk with your wife about things you don't intend to do? Hey, honey, let's talk about going down to the strip club tomorrow night. She says, what? Do you want to go to the strip club? No. I don't intend to go to the strip. Let's just talk about it. Why would you talk about something you don't intend to do? Okay, if the subject of same-sex marriage has been settled by Scripture, do we need to discuss it? Do we need to reconsider it? Do we need to bounce it around? Do we need to send it up the flagpole and see who salutes? No. Simply say what Scripture teaches, period. Now, if that's what is going to happen, great. If we're going to simply confess what Scripture says about it, that's good. There's no need to discuss it. Really, I hope you don't misunderstand this as being closed-minded, but where Scripture has spoken clearly and settled an issue, we don't need to sit down and talk about it anymore. We need to simply say what Scripture says and let Scripture settle the matter. Maybe it's just a way for us to call ourselves conservative because we take a stand against same-sex marriage. You know, maybe we need to somehow, we're a little, have a guilty conscience that we're not as conservative as we are, and so we say, well, let's come out with some statement on a cultural issue that everyone will pat us on the back, and we can pat ourselves on the back and affirm one another. Yeah, we're still conservative. We don't ordain gays or marry gays. We're still conservative. Whew. Dodged that bullet, didn't we? Whew. Maybe so. Terry's calling from St. Louis. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Todd. I have an interesting quote that someone sent me. I'm a homeschooler here in St. Louis, and a Baptist friend of mine that also homeschools found this quote and sent it to me from Martin Luther. It says, I am afraid that schools will prove to be wide gates to hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures, engraving them in the hearts of youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not constantly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt. Martin Luther. I thought it was a really, really good quote in support of homeschooling.
Thank you very much, Terry. Or in also in support of parochial schools. You know, there was a time. I get nothing against public schools in theory, really. I don't. There was a time, though, earlier in this country's history and, of course, farther back, when parents would not have even considered, it wouldn't have been in the cards to educate your child in something that would be completely absent, devoid of instruction in God's Word, much less in some sort of a context where God's Word was spoken against, either implicitly or explicitly. Now, can kids get through a public school education and still retain their Christian faith? Of course they can. It will require that parents work and redouble their efforts to pay attention to what the kids are being taught. It really does require that. I would probably feel more comfortable with the Southern Baptist call and with Cal Thomas's echoing of the call, withdraw your kids from public school, if it were a two-pronged call. One, if you're going to keep your kids in public school, stay on top of what they're being taught, and you might have to do the remedial work at home with your kids. Or, if you find yourself unable or unwilling to do that, you don't have the resources, you might want to pull your kid out of public school. Do you think it's a good idea? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Terry brought that quote from Luther talking about, you know, no institution. Wouldn't send our kid to a school where God's word does not reign supreme. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, when the Southern Baptists get together in Indianapolis, it's something worth watching. Not just because it's, as you'll hear here in just a moment, it is the kind of rhetoric you just don't hear often in the public square from Christians. Very frank. Do you remember when it was the Reverend Vines last summer, summer before last, on the heels of this, of the 9/11 terrorist attack, talked about Muhammad as a pedophile? Do you remember that? And he was citing what is considered by even Muslims to be an accurate account of one of Muhammad's wives. What, 9 years old, I think, when he married her? Consummated the marriage at 11, 16, something like that? That would classify it today as a pedophile. Boom! See the headlines! Well, it's kind of enthusiasm there you just don't hear for the truth of God's word and for truth, period, from Christians in the public square that I find refreshing. Refreshing like the old high karate slap in the face. Thanks. I needed that. And not just in the public square, but in the church itself, within the house of God. A kind of enthusiasm for the truth of God's word and truth in general that you just don't hear anymore. Steve is calling from his car. Steve, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
For a long time, I've thought this interesting, and that is that so many of the Baptist churches that I'm familiar with have gone to a very large expense to build a basically a whole school so that they can have Sunday school and maybe Wednesday night Bible studies. And if the Baptist church is so concerned about it, I wonder why don't they just take this already built infrastructure and just turn it into a day school? Because a lot of Baptist churches will have a first grade room for Bible study, a second grade, a third grade. You know, they have all 8 grades.
Oh, sure.
So why not, you know, maybe that's a better compromise. If the Baptists open theirs up, they would draw a certain number of people out of public schools. That might send a message to public schools without causing, you know, those unintended consequences.
Right, and then rather than just say to people, hey, send your kid to a parochial school or homeschool your kids, which I think is as scary as, just in terms of figuring out how to do it, as sending your kid to a public school, they can say, we have a school. Here is a parochial school for your kids. I think you're right there, Steve. Thank you very much. It's open lines, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now let's hear from some of the other speakers at the meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention in Indianapolis that's going on this week. Pastor Jerry Vines, I just mentioned him, former president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He says people today, they don't want to hear biblical preaching.
Do we wonder today why people by the millions read the Da Vinci Code and all of that other cartoonish stuff and don't have any understanding of what sound doctrine is? We are living, ladies and gentlemen, in the days of apostasy. And in days of apostasy, there is the charge to the man of God. And the charge to the man of God is, preach the word.
Thanks, I needed that, Jerry. That is great. That is marvelous. He says it as it is. We are living in the days of apostasy. And I want to just play on that word for just a second. Apostasy. Apostasy means a great falling away. A falling away. You know, you can only fall away if you once were standing firm. Only the church can become apostate. The culture can't become apostate. The church, the culture can't fall from anything. It's already fallen, right? Society cannot apostatize. The church can. And when he says we are living in the age of apostasy, the call of the man of God is what in the age of apostasy? When people are calling and gathering around themselves all sorts of teachers that itch their itching ears, preach the word. Wow. Pastor Vines also says that pastors should be aware of self-proclaimed prophets who said that God, who come around, we hear them all the time, don't we? Self-proclaimed prophets, and now we would call them pundits and experts, who say that God's doing a new thing.
And somebody blows into town and they claim they got something brand new that nobody else had before. Ladies and gentlemen, the canon of Scripture has been closed 2,000 years. And if it's new, it is not true. And if it is true, it is not new.
Simple language, but expressing truths you seldom hear, either in the public square from Christians or, more sadly, within the house of God from Christian leaders. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We have open lines for your phone calls, your reactions to what we're hearing here from the Southern Baptist Convention in Indianapolis. Until 5:30, then we're going to be talking to Bill Salmon. He's authored this book, Misunderestimated, The President Battles Terrorism, John Kerry and the Bush Haters. We'll talk with him about the Bush presidency. He's senior White House correspondent for the Washington Times. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Do you find it as refreshing as I do? And I'm a little bit sad, too. Would that these voices were coming from within my church. It's a sad day when you have to depend upon the Southern Baptists to speak like this. Rather than voices of equivocation and saying, not everything that's new and breezes through town is bad. Let's see what we'll bone spit all those new teachings coming into the church. Or, worse yet, we often hear not equivocation, but an affirmation that what's old is bad, outdated, irrelevant, and what new has got to be bandwagon theology. Here comes the bandwagon. Last year it was Promise Keepers, then the year after that it was What Would Jesus Do, and then it was the Prayer of Jabez, and most lately it's a purpose-driven life, but it's bandwagon theology. Sometimes you just long for a guy like Jerry Vines to say, Scripture has spoken, and if it's new, it isn't true. The devil is the author of novelty and innovation. Bob is calling from his car. Bob, welcome to Issues, Etc. Hey, Bob, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hey, just attaboys on Jerry Vines. And let me just say, we just came from the convention. And let me encourage your listeners, if they ever have a Southern Baptist convention around them, we do allow visitors, and we'd love to have people come and just sit in and watch how we do business. On the education thing, the thought I had was, one of these days when the Lord takes believers out of this world, the void that's left is that is going to create the Great Tribulation. And I'm thinking about parents need to be involved in the public schools. Christian parents need to be overseeing and seeing what's happening and have input. Because if we come out of the schools and take our kids out and don't have any input, I'm concerned about the void that'll be left.
Bob, thank you for the call. While I'm going to just completely disagree with him on the issue of the church being taken out of the world, I think he was talking there about a rapture and then a great tribulation that would follow. He makes a good point, though, right? If we pull out of the law of unintended consequences, if we pull out of the schools as Christians, the public schools, we leave a void, don't we? What did Christians do in the academy? They opted out. So what has become of the average university or college? A hotbed of just about anything you want, postmodern thought, no thought at all, feminism, you name it, the worst of the worst. Had Christians stayed at their posts, perhaps it wouldn't be that way. Maybe it would be. Maybe we've been driven out. Fine. Better to be driven out than to walk out on our own and to leave it. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Oh, if you think Jerry Vines is good, just wait. We got more. Ergun Kaner, just wait. Herb is on the line calling from his car. Hi, Herb.
Here we go. Welcome to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Set your watch back 500 years. Ecumenism at its best. The Southern Baptist and Missouri Synod Lutherans. What a wonderful thing. Have fun.
What do you mean by that, Herb? He's gone. That was rather cryptic. I mean, was that a shot, or was it, or did he mean that that is ecumenism? I think it is ecumenism at its best. You get Paige Patterson on a Lutheran radio program, and we talk with him about things where we can't agree. That is ecumenism at its best. What's the alternative? To agree to disagree? To not have him on? You know, here's a Lutheran pastor extolling what's being said. Yeah, set the watch back a 500 years. That's always the call, isn't it? Oh, you Lutherans want to set the watch back a 500 years. You know what? If the watch, if our watches are that inaccurate today, maybe we do need to turn them back 500 years. Maybe they're 500 years off. You ever think about that? Your talk about turning the watch back. If your watch is fast, you got to turn it back, right? Otherwise, you're not on time. So maybe the watch does need to be reset back if the watch is that far off. Bryce is calling from Colorado, listening on the Internet. Bryce, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thank you. I appreciate your topic, and I love your show. I listen on the Internet whenever I can. I'm a public school teacher, and my kids went to a Lutheran parochial school, my oldest daughter till 8th grade, my youngest daughter till 4th grade, and now they're in public school. And I have to say it's probably the best move we've made for them spiritually. The onus is on us now to teach them God's word, and instead of handing off the ball to the school, who was really not doing a good job, that good of a job anyway. They're immersed with the church growth stuff. So to me, the public schools are a good thing, and Christians should not even consider not being in them. They need all the salt and light that they can get. So that's just my comment. Thanks.
Bryce, thank you very much, and thanks for listening on the Internet as well. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We're headed for a break, and when we come back from the break, 25 minutes left in open lines. Your questions, your comments. We're talking about what's going on among the Southern Baptists. One caller, at least, thinks that the Southern Baptists, at least apparently, he could call back and correct me if you didn't want to hang up before we have a conversation. One caller, at least, thinks that the Southern Baptists are trying to turn the clock back, along with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I mean, I do respond, if the clock is that far off, maybe we need to turn it back. If the clock is fast, you do turn it back, so it's on time. What do the rest of you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If by our theology, I don't know what about 500 years ago in the Lutheran Reformation, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, what anyone would have an argument with today in the 21st century, honestly. We'll be right back with more Open Lines.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.